Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
On this vote, the yeas are 216, the nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Kevin McCarthy has become the first House Speaker in U.S. history to be ousted after eight hardline Republicans led an effort to remove him from his post, leaving Congress in a state of chaos. We'll speak to Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna about what comes next and the state of the Senate race in California as LaFonza Butler is sworn in to temporarily fill the seat of the late Dianne Feinstein, who will be buried on Thursday. Then we go to Haiti as the UN Security Council votes to deploy a U.S.-backed, Kenyan-led multinational armed force in what will be the first deployment of international forces to Haiti in nearly 20 years.
This mission comes at the request of the Haitian government and Haitian civil society to address the insecurity and dire humanitarian crisis the country has faced for far too long.
But many Haitians are warning against another foreign intervention in Haiti, while questioning why the Biden administration continues to support Haiti's unelected Prime Minister Ariel Henry, who's ruled since the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse 2 years ago. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. For the first time ever, the U.S. House voted to remove its speaker, California Republican Congressmember Kevin McCarthy, plunging the House into even greater turmoil. The far-right flank of the Republican Party and all Democrats voted Tuesday to oust McCarthy in a 216-210 vote. It came just days after McCarthy worked with Democrats to pass a stopgap bill to avert a government shutdown. McCarthy spoke after his ouster.
I don't regret standing up for choosing governance over grievance. It is my responsibility. It is my job. I do not regret negotiating. Our government is designed to find compromise.
McCarthy's accused Florida's far-right Congressmember Matt Gaetz, who set the vote in motion, of a personally motivated attack. The House Ethics Committee has been investigating Gaetz for a range of possible crimes, including sex trafficking and misuse of campaign funds. The House will now have to vote for a new leader with no clear successor in sight, as Congress has just over 6 weeks to again avoid a shutdown. We'll go to D.C. for the latest with California Congressmember Ro Khanna after headlines. Here in New York, the judge overseeing Donald Trump's civil fraud trial imposed a gag order on the former president Tuesday after Trump posted a photo of the judge's law clerk with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer falsely claiming she's Schumer's girlfriend. Trump also wrote the case against him should be dismissed. Judge Arthur Engoron barred Trump from posting, sending emails, or making public remarks about members of the judge's staff. Meanwhile, in Georgia, Fulton County prosecutors have reportedly reached plea deals with at least half the fake electors for their cooperation in the wide-ranging racketeering case around Trump's efforts to overturn the result of the 2020 election. Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty to lying about his drug use on a 2018 form he filled out to buy a firearm. President Biden's son faces a potential federal trial during the 2024 presidential campaigning period after a plea deal fell apart over the summer. In Colombia, The government has issued a long-awaited public apology for the extrajudicial killings of 19 civilians who were mislabeled as rebel fighters in what became known as the false positive scandal. The killings took place between 2004 and 2008 as the Colombian military intensified its crackdown against the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. Colombian soldiers and officers were paid bonuses and granted promotions based on their kill count. Thousands of civilians were killed and purposefully mislabeled. But some family members rejected the apology, including this mother of a victim.
Let it be very clear that today my family and I are not granting forgiveness. For us, it is very painful because we are still in a moment of total impunity. I have been waiting for more than 16 years for justice to be served, for the truth to be found, and for there to be no more repetition of these cases.
On Tuesday, police in New Delhi, India, raided the homes and offices of dozens of journalists working for a left-leaning independent news outlet critical of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government. NewsClick's founder and editor-in-chief, Prabir Prakhyastha, and another journalist were arrested. The mass raid and interrogations came as part of an investigation involving a sweeping anti-terror law critics say has been used to attack press freedom. Earlier this year, Indian authorities also raided the offices of the BBC in a separate investigation. A group of protesters gathered in front of the New York Times building yesterday as they accused the Times of complicity in the crackdown after the newspaper previously accused NewsClick and other outlets of being part of a Chinese news propaganda network. Pakistani authorities have ordered all undocumented immigrants to leave the country by November 1st or face mass deportations. This includes over 1.7 million asylum seekers from Afghanistan who fled to neighboring Pakistan since the Taliban returned to power in 2021. Pakistan's Interior Minister, Sarfaraz Bhukti, said Tuesday after the November deadline, Afghans will only be allowed to enter if they have a valid passport or visa, a process that can take months due to a massive backlog. Maryland Senator Ben Cardin, the new chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has blocked all $235 million in U.S. military funding to Egypt, citing human rights concerns. Cardin replaced New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez as head of the powerful committee after Menendez was indicted on federal bribery charges, including accusations he used his position to help New Jersey businessmen and the Egyptian government. After Israel, Egypt is the second largest recipient of U.S. foreign military aid, despite the well-known abuses of President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi's government, including its harsh crackdown on dissent and the press. Cardin said the funding would be blocked until his committee saw reforms on pretrial detention and the release of political prisoners. El-Sisi is widely expected to win Egypt's upcoming December election. In Niger, the government has declared 3 days of national mourning after an attack by suspected militants killed at least 29 soldiers in Niger's western border with Mali. Niger's defense ministry also said several dozen terrorists were killed. Local residents lamented the attack and the ongoing insecurity.
We wish that this mourning, this sadness, that the families of the soldiers feel, that the Nigerians feel, that this would be the last time and that this insecurity stops. We want peace to return to Niger, peace to return to the Sahel, peace to return to Mali, peace to return to Burkina.
Violence in the Sahel has plagued Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso for over a decade, leading to military takeovers in the three countries, which recently formed a defense alliance to fight armed groups and external military intervention. The countries have moved to sever ties with the former colonizer France, whose mission to combat terrorism has largely failed or worsened the situation. The UN also recently withdrew its forces from Mali as Mali's military attempts to repel combat conflicts from armed groups on multiple fronts. A blockade and bombing of Timbuktu by al-Qaeda-affiliated insurgents has led to fears of a possible civil war. This is a Timbuktu resident.
What worries us is the shelling of the town. This creates a real psychosis and leaves its mark on people's minds. I, myself, have this fear inside of me. What's much more serious is that the fact that it affects people's psychology.
In Nigeria, Reuters reports at least 37 people are dead after a homemade refinery ignited a nearby oil reservoir and exploded into flames. Illegal oil refining is common along the Niger Delta region of Nigeria, where local residents living in extreme poverty tap pipelines to make and sell fuel. Four environmental groups are suing Total Energies in French criminal court, accusing it of involuntary homicide over its oil projects, including the contested EACOP pipeline in Tanzania and Uganda. Activists have been heavily campaigning to bring international attention to the East African crude oil pipeline, which threatens the fragile surrounding ecosystem and communities in the pipeline's path. This comes as South Africa's given the green light for Total Energies to drill off its shores for gas and oil, despite challenges from climate groups. One of the groups, Climate Justice Charter Movement, said they'll continue to fight the government's decision. Here in the United States, climate activists disrupted a talk packed with executives at the Insurance Leadership Forum in Colorado Springs Tuesday to demand companies stop insuring and investing in fossil fuel expansion.
Hello, insurance executives. We are here today to call out the contributions that you're making, specifically Liberty Mutual.
I had an opening line set up here. I had some good lines. Hey, yeah, I don't
care. For your continuing expansion of fossil fuels.
Not on a program.
Earlier this week, protesters with RAN, Rainforest Action Network, and 350 Colorado gathered in front of another event at the Insurance Forum, demanding companies like Chubb, Travelers, and Liberty Mutual insure communities instead of fossil fuels. A growing number of homeowners are not able to afford insurance as the cost of coverage goes up, and major companies have started pulling out of states that are at high risk of wildfires, flooding, and storms. A recent report found 39 million homes are at risk of losing their insurance due to the climate crisis. In Maryland, five people were shot at Morgan State University in Baltimore Tuesday night. Police have not yet located a suspect in the shooting, which happened during a homecoming week event at the historically black school. The victims are not in critical condition. In other news from Baltimore, a federal judge has blocked lawsuits against Catholic schools, charities, and parishes that are part of insurance plans with the Archdiocese of Baltimore. This comes days after the Catholic Church in Baltimore filed for bankruptcy Friday ahead of Maryland's new Child Victims Act, which went into effect Sunday and removes the statute of limitations for child sex abuse lawsuits. A flood of lawsuits is expected against the Archdiocese. A report last year found at least 600 children suffered sexual abuse and physical torture by over 150 Baltimore clergy members over decades. Dozens of survivors also filed a suit Sunday against the state of Maryland and its agencies for sexual abuse suffered in its juvenile prisons. And 75,000 healthcare workers with Kaiser Permanente are walking off the job in a major strike that will run through Friday. Talks have failed to yield a new agreement as workers seek higher pay, better staffing, and improvements in their pension plans and other benefits. The strike would affect Kaiser workers in California, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. It's the largest strike of healthcare workers in U.S. history. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, Congress is in a state of chaos after Kevin McCarthy becomes the first House Speaker in U.S. history to be ousted. We'll speak with Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna. Back in a minute.
We will.
Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, Kevin McCarthy has become the first House Speaker in U.S. history to be ousted after eight hardline Republicans led an effort to remove him from his post, leaving Congress in a state of chaos. The entire Democratic caucus voted to remove McCarthy.
On this vote, the yeas are 216, the nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
The vote came just days after Kevin McCarthy worked with Democrats to pass a stopgap bill to avert a government shutdown for now. McCarthy spoke after his ouster.
Doing the right thing isn't always easy, but it is necessary. I don't regret standing up for choosing government over grievance. It is my responsibility. It is my job. I do not regret negotiating. Our government is designed to find compromise. I don't regret my efforts to build coalitions and find solutions. I was raised to solve problems, not create them. So I may have lost a vote today, but as I walk out of this chamber, I feel fortunate to have served the American people.
Kevin McCarthy has accused Florida's far-right Congressmember Matt Gaetz, who set the vote in motion, of a personally motivated attack. The House Ethics Committee has been investigating Gaetz for a range of possible crimes, including sex trafficking and misuse of campaign funds. Prior to the vote, Gaetz spoke out against McCarthy's leadership.
Mr. Speaker, my friend from Oklahoma says that my colleagues and I who don't support Kevin McCarthy would plunge the House and the country into chaos. Chaos is Speaker McCarthy. Chaos is somebody who we cannot trust with their word. The one thing that the White House, House Democrats, and many of us on the conservative side of the Republican caucus would argue is that the thing we have in common, Kevin McCarthy said something to all of us at one point or another that he didn't really mean and never intended to live up to.
The House will now have to vote for a new leader with no clear successor in sight, as Congress has just over 6 weeks to again avoid a shutdown. North Carolina Republican Congressman Patrick McHenry will serve as acting speaker until a new one is elected. McCarthy says he will not run again. The House will be in recess until next week. We go now to Washington, D.C., where we're joined by California Congressmember Ro Khanna. He joined every other Democrat in the House Tuesday to vote to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. This is historic, Congressmember Ro Khanna, the first time in U.S. history a House Speaker has been removed. Can you talk about the decision of the Democrats to join with the eight far-right Republicans in removing Kevin McCarthy?
Amy, Kevin McCarthy's tragic fall reminds me of the scripture, "Pride cometh before the fall." Kevin McCarthy, few days before the motion, tweets out, "Bring it on." He never outreached to the Democrats. He never tried to stand up to the far right faction since the day he took office. He could have had a very different speakership. He could have stood up to the far right. He could have not held the country hostage in the debt ceiling negotiations. He could have condemned what happened at January 6th and not walked that back. But instead, he basically kowtowed to this extreme wing on their side. And he only realized the danger of that a few days ago. And even then, he still was attacking Democrats on the Sunday shows. So it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation for the House. But the Democrats really did not have someone who we could co-govern with.
And Congressman, there was talk in the past few days of some kind of a deal between the Democrats and McCarthy to keep him in office if concessions could have been gotten from him in terms of future governing. Did any of those discussions ever really go anywhere? And were the Democrats completely united in sticking with the vote against him?
I have never seen one. Our Democratic caucus more united. Yesterday morning in the caucus meeting, about 50 members spoke. They all spoke about in unison about the need to support the motion to vacate. But at the same time, we had given our leader, Hakeem Jeffries, the authority to explore any negotiation. Kevin McCarthy himself is saying that he didn't want to do that. He was not willing to talk about ending the bogus impeachment inquiry. He was not willing to talk about a path so that we don't continually put this government on the threat of shutdown. And so he wasn't ever serious about that possibility. And I'm proud of my colleagues for standing united, both in the vote and in our internal conversations.
So what happens now? The Congress is recessed for a week. How long do you figure this will take to be able for the Republicans to arrive at a new leader? And what's the impact going to be on any legislation coming out of Congress?
Well, Congress is at a halt, at a standstill. The irony is for Representative Gates saying that we don't work enough and we aren't coming in enough. Now they have basically adjourned Congress until next week. And we have important bills to take up in the next 45 days so that we don't have a situation of a shutdown right before Thanksgiving. My sense is that the Republicans are still trying to figure out their leadership issue. And I do think they'll probably coalesce around someone early next week. But the question is not so much who it is, whether it is Representative Scalise or whether it is Comer or whether it is Jordan. The issue is, are they going to be able to govern? Will the Republicans allow them to pass another continuing resolution before Thanksgiving if we can't get a total budget deal? Or are we going to be in the same situation where a speaker is threatened to have them removed unless they shut down government? And that's really, it's a structural problem for that caucus.
In a press conference on Tuesday evening, the ousted House Speaker Kevin McCarthy blamed the Democrats for his removal.
I think today was a political decision by the Democrats. And I think the things they have done in the past hurt the institution. And they just started removing people from committee. And they just started doing the other things. And my fear is the institution fell today. Because you can't do the job if eight people, you have 94% or 96% of your entire conference, but eight people can partner with the whole other side. How do you govern?
So even though it was the eight far-right Republicans, he's talking about the Democrats. And also a side issue is Nancy Pelosi was told to get her stuff out of, and you could explain what the secret office is, near the chamber, as she is in California right now preparing for her close friend Dianne Feinstein's funeral on Thursday.
The pettiness of what they're doing with Speaker Pelosi should offend every American. It is customary for former Speaker of the House, for the former Speaker of the House to have an office in the Capitol. Kevin McCarthy would be entitled to have an office in the Capitol. And the fact that the first act of the Speaker pro tem is to kick Speaker Pelosi out of the Capitol is not just vindictive, but it also shows that they aren't focused on average Americans' priorities. I mean, what most Americans are worried about is that the gas bill is too much, the groceries cost too much, the rent costs too much, their income isn't keeping up, they can't afford to buy a house, interest rates are high, and there is no effort to actually address the economic issues, the kitchen table issues that affect the American public.
Let me ask you something about the possible House speakers to be. There's the mention of Steve Scalise, who is going through, I think, chemo for blood cancer. Jim Jordan, head of the House Judiciary Committee, who was involved in that scandal at Ohio State, where he was an assistant coach and the doctor abused many of the young wrestlers, and he's been accused of knowing full well and covering up. And then there's the possibility of Hakeem Jeffries, if five Republicans join Democrats. It could be a Democratic House Speaker. Can you comment on all of this?
Well, really, the ideal would it for it be to be Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, I wish there were five moderate, reasonable Republicans, people like Brian Fitzpatrick or others who would say that let's coalesce around Hakeem Jeffries and actually govern this country. I think it's unlikely, but that would be the most reasonable outcome. If Scalise gets it, I mean, on a personal level, I know him. I felt horrible during the Capitol shooting for what happened to him. I, of course, have deep sympathy and wish him well on the personal health challenges. My question for him would be, have you gotten a commitment from the eight people who just brought down Kevin McCarthy that they aren't going to try to bring you down if you're willing to govern? Or have you gotten a commitment that you don't have to shut the government down or have the country go into default? Otherwise, I don't care who they pick. It's an insolvable issue if these few far right wing congresspeople basically don't want to fund the government or want to cut the government spending so drastically for people who need Social Security, Medicare, nutritional assistance. And that's really the challenge, Amy.
Congressman, about those that group of far-right Republicans, the leader, Matt Gaetz, do you, as a result of this, he led the charge against McCarthy. Do you sense that his influence and power within the Republican caucus has increased, or that he's more been exposed for the extremism that he represents?
He certainly has influence in the Republican Party because he has a group of folks that he influences in a very narrow majority. His attack also on the Capitol, that it is being infused with lobbyist money, that it has people who've been there too long, that it isn't looking out for the ordinary Americans, is a very potent rhetorical statement. And we should be pushing for reform. My view is the way to push for reform is to ban PAC and lobbyist money, ban stock trading, make sure that members of Congress can't become lobbyists. It's not to do the theatrics of removing Kevin McCarthy. But we should not underestimate the populist anger against the institution of Congress, and that's what Matt Gaetz is tapping into.
And what about Ukraine funding? The Republicans not wanting to continue to fund the war in Ukraine, but also talk about pushes for diplomacy, whether that obscures another issue, which is trying to end the war through diplomacy. The Biden administration right now is deeply concerned about what has taken place, of course, as is Zelensky, the president of Ukraine.
Amy, as you know, I was one of the people on the Congressional Progressive Letter who didn't retract, saying that while we support Ukraine with aid, we need to be having conversations with Ukraine, with Russia, about what a just end to the conflict would look like. And we need to be involving people, other countries like France, India, who may have a relationship to help facilitate a just end. But I have spoken even to peace activists, and they don't believe that cutting off the aid at this point would do anything but allow Putin to march into Kiev. It would be disastrous. We need to provide the aid to make sure that Ukraine can defend its sovereignty, that we aren't handing Ukraine over to Russia, that we're incentivizing Russia to come to the negotiating table, and at the same time, through another track, pursue a just diplomatic outcome. The removal of aid, regardless of where you stand on how much to push for diplomacy, would just be a colossal foreign policy blunder and basically be telling Putin, take Ukraine make the last year and a half an effort in vain.
I also want to ask you about the